It's Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 35. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said,
Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.
And his father and his mother marvelled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother,
Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.
Great, thank you very much for reading for us there. So did any of you say, I can't wait for Christmas? Any of you say that, George, you said it, yep. I can't wait for Christmas. Were any of you counting down with your Advent calendar the days until Christmas arrived? Or perhaps the number of sleeps that you might have until Father Christmas came? I can see Karen Gilder was doing that. There are so many good things about Christmas. So many reasons why it's understandable that we really look forward to it. We anticipate it. We kind of got all of those things which are just great. I mean, mentioned some of them earlier on. Family coming and joining us. It might be the festive food. It might be the presents. It might be just the fact that you get some time off work or a holiday from school. The anticipation of Christmas isn't just in our own sort of lives. It's also there, out there as well, isn't it? The shops, or the TV, or our schools are always saying, Christmas is coming, Christmas is coming, it's great. We really, really look forward to it. And I hope you had a great Christmas this year. But I just want to leave you, or give you, at this stage, with one little statistic. There are 361 more sleeps until Christmas. 361 more days until Christmas. Because Christmas has just come and gone, hasn't it? You see, that's one of the problems with Christmas. Because Christmas time, you get your presents. And you open your presents and you're left with wrapping paper that just needs to be recycled. Or you've eaten your Christmas dinner, you end up fat. And mummy and daddy end up with lots of washing up to do. Or your Christmas tree, if you've got a real Christmas tree, unlike this one, your Christmas tree drops all its needles everywhere. And it doesn't look very good anymore. And then mummy and daddy have to do the hoovering. So maybe if you're a little one, you want to help mummy and daddy do a bit of hoovering for them. Get those needles up this new year. You see, Christmas comes, but it also goes very quickly. It might feel that perhaps this Sunday feels a bit more like the after the Lord Mayor's show kind of feel. The room was packed in here on Wednesday, all the way to the back, all the way through there. And now on Christmas, sort of a few days afterwards, we're just, oh, it might just feel a bit more like after the Lord Mayor's show. We've not sung any Christmas carols. It doesn't feel very Christmassy. And you know that tomorrow, for many of you, Monday morning, you're back at work. Sorry about that. I just thought I'd remind you. We're probably going through, most of us, what you might consider to be the post-Christmas blues. It's a well-known fact that there are these things called the post-Christmas blues. Christmas is over, all those things we were looking forward to are done, and they're dusted. That kind of brief escape from the norm has happened, and it's over. And now we're back to the grind. And so we're bound to feel a little bit down, aren't we? So I did a bit of research this week. How do you overcome the post-Christmas blues? Well, here are some ways. Write a poem. Express how you're feeling at the moment. What are you feeling? What are you going through? Write it down. Perhaps stick on a funny DVD. That'll make you feel much better about yourself. Make a plan for something in the near future, like a holiday. Head off somewhere and so you've got something else to look forward to. Or maybe eat some more mood-enhancing omega-3 rich food, because that'll help. But in our reading, we met with a guy, Simeon. Simeon was really, really anticipating and expecting Christmas. And Simeon tells us how to avoid the post-Christmas blues. Because what Simeon does, he says something like Bill said a bit earlier on. Don't anticipate and don't expect and don't look towards the thrills of Christmas, but the effects of Christmas. Don't look at what you might call the accessories of Christmas, but instead look at the accomplishments of Christmas. Because Simeon had been waiting for the arrival of God's Messiah. He had two reasons, we saw it in our reading. Two reasons. One was because he had the whole of the Old Testament, which said Jesus or the Messiah is coming. So the majority of the Bible, if you're not familiar with the Bible, the majority of the Bible, the Old Testament, is all about saying Jesus is coming. But Simeon had something specific as well, a specific promise or message from God, from the Holy Spirit, saying, you will see the Messiah, the King of Israel. And one day, Mary and Joseph turn up in the temple with Jesus in their arms. And he knew. He knew that he had seen the fulfillment of that promise. He sings with great joy. I was very disappointed, Bill, that you didn't sing. Because it was such a moment of great joy that he couldn't keep his emotions in. It says here, but he was singing a great song, a poem. Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace because my eyes have seen your salvation. Great joy. Because Christmas is all about rescue. Christmas is all about rescue. We're going to have a little clip to remind us of this. So if you ever think Christmas, always think rescue. If you want to understand Christmas, think rescue. It's what it's all about. So here's a brief clip. It's about 4 minutes. Enjoy.
Jesse! Come on, Buzz! Yeah! Ride like the wind, Bullseye!
Excuse me, ma'am, but I believe you're on the wrong flight.
Woody!
Come on, Jess. It's time to take you home.
But what if Andy doesn't like me?
Nonsense. Andy will love you. Besides, he's got a little sister.
He does? Why didn't you say so? Let's go!
Whoa!
Hold it! There's a couple more bags coming to the terminal.
Okay, on three. One, two... This is bad.
How are we gonna get out of here?
Over there! Come on!
You sure about this?
No! Let's go!
Right, so if there's one thing that we need to remember, Christmas equals rescue. Christmas is all about rescue. You want to know Christmas? Remember rescue. That's what Simeon meant when he said, "My eyes have seen your salvation." When Simeon sees Jesus, he sees God's rescue, the Lord's salvation. And so to know Jesus is to experience a rescue. To know Jesus is to experience the Lord's salvation. So this Christmas, we have been banging on about the fact that Christmas is all about God's rescue. And the reason why we keep on banging on about it is because it's absolutely true. And it's the most important thing that we need to remember. So maybe you've heard a little bit and you just think, well, I need to know more about this Jesus. Well, look further into him. Because God's rescue isn't a get out of jail free card. It is an invitation to relate to God himself. And that's why, actually, Christmas isn't just for Christmas. As Bill said, even after Christmas, Jesus is there. So for Jessie, the importance, she was there. She was in a terrible situation, wasn't she? She was on that plane and she was going to fly off to Japan and be stuck in a museum somewhere. And her life would have gone down one track. But no, Woody comes along. And as Woody comes along and he gets in and he brings her out, then her life is transformed. The rescue that she experiences turns her life upside down. Everything is different thereafter. It is all changed. So Christmas, if it's a rescue, isn't just about the day. Which is why you don't need to experience post-Christmas blues. Because Christmas is about an ongoing rescue. A rescue which will enable us to relate to God, to know him. And it's for all people. You see there in verse 31, is that the Lord has prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles, that is people who aren't Jews, and for glory to your people Israel, those people who are. So it's for everyone. Which is why Simeon's bound to sing with joy, because this is good news for the whole world. Good news for everybody. So let's not be selfish with this. Jesus isn't ours alone. He is God's light for revelation to everyone. Whatever their background, whatever their religion or none, Jesus is the hope for everyone. Let's not keep it to ourselves. It might be that at the moment you're thinking about giving the young covers. I've got one here. Should I sort of really take the plunge and give this to all my friends that I've been praying for the last 3 months? Well, yeah, it is the hope for all nations. So I pray that all of our friends who are of, well, any faith or no faith, meet with the Lord Jesus this Christmas and experience relating to him. And I want to say, actually, that in my experience, kids are the best evangelists. So I'm going to embarrass my little girl, Hannah. Because she was just going around preschool telling everyone about Jesus and Christmas time and why it's so good. And I think she just does it. And here am I, and I'm kind of employed to do that. And I struggle. I think we need to learn from our kids and actually recapture this sense that Christmas is really good news to share with others and to talk to others about. And just get on with it. Our passage gives us two consequences. Two consequences of this rescue. And the first is there in verse 29. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. The first consequence is permanent peace. Simeon every day has been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And then suddenly the Lord Jesus appears. And now he's saying, I'm able to have peace. We said waiting brought sleepless nights. Waiting brought that kind of anxiety. A weight on your shoulders. But when that weight is over, then actually suddenly lifted from your shoulders, it is everything that has been pressing down on you. He says, I have seen the salvation of the Lord. I have been rescued. And so he has peace. His shoulders can drop. He can relax. He can enjoy it. Like a weight has been lifted from his shoulders. Now, we often pray for peace in the world out there, don't we? But I guess the experience for most of us is that actually we don't have a peace in here, in our hearts. Because we all live through the unrest of the knowledge of sin and our failings. Perhaps we've despaired at our own attitude and it seems like there's nothing that we can do about it. The restlessness of knowing that actually we need someone to rescue us. A saviour. And Jesus is the one who brings peace to the restless. Salvation to those who need it. Combating those post-Christmas blues. Experiencing the ongoing peace that comes from knowing Jesus. Tim mentioned on Wednesday that Christmas is not about giving, it's about receiving. And we were all convinced, weren't we? It's about receiving Jesus. I want to contradict him. Christmas is all about giving and not receiving. Okay? Why is Christmas all about giving and not receiving? Well, it's not about giving gold and frankincense and myrrh. But actually, I think Christmas is about giving our burdens. Giving our sin, giving our frustrations, giving our guilt to the Lord Jesus. Those things that weigh us down and cause us not to be able to just rest. Jesus said, cast your burdens on me because I care for you. In Isaiah, some words are appearing up on the screen. He said these about Jesus. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. With his stripes we are healed. Maybe that you are feeling burdened by guilt, burdened by sin, burdened by just the fact that you've never even lived up to your own expectations. Well, Jesus says, cast your burdens on me. Experience the fact that I will lift that yoke from you. Because he took the punishment we all deserve for our sin. Give him your griefs, give him your sorrows, and know his peace. A peace that endures long after the batteries have died in all your toys. But Simeon doesn't end there. We've got permanent peace, but also we actually have potential pain. or probable pain even. You see, Simeon says about Jesus to Mary some really awful words. Just imagine you're a mother and someone says this to you. Behold, your child is appointed for the fall and rising of many, for a sign that's going to be opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Christmas Day, Mary was singing, "My soul magnifies in the Lord." And that soul, her inner being, everything about her is going to be pierced with a sword. Well, experience for Mary will be painful because Jesus will be opposed. Men mocked him. It's all through this gospel. Men mocked him. The chief priests accused him. Herod treated him with contempt. Pilate abused him. The crowd bayed for his blood. Rulers taunted him. Soldiers mocked him. Thieves swore at him. And he was the rescuer all along. You see, Jesus was opposed. Jesus will be opposed. So don't be surprised if you try and give this to somebody and they don't want to read it. Because just as Jesus was opposed, so will his followers. You will experience that same opposition. Disciples aren't any greater than their master. So, we will probably find it painful. We'll probably find it humbling. It won't be easy. But we know that as we talk to others, as we share with others, that there will be others who receive the gift of peace which comes from knowing Jesus, experiencing him. So this Christmas, how are you going to avoid the post-Christmas blues? How are you going to face the new year? Hopefully not with omega-3 rich food. Hopefully not with a cheery DVD to stick on there to make you feel better about yourself. But hopefully living the rescued life. Living as those who are rescued by the Lord Jesus. Because that is what Christmas is all about. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you that you humbled yourself and came and lived amongst us. Lived amongst us as a humble child who grew up into a humble man. We thank you very much that you died a rescuing death. A death which bore our griefs and bore our pains, bore our sorrows, bore our burdens, bore our sin. And we thank you that because of that you offer us peace. Peace with yourself, peace with one another, peace with your Father. And so we pray that this Christmas we would know that Jesus isn't, that you are not just for Christmas, but for every day of our lives. Would we live that peaceful life for your glory. Amen. Well, we're going to finish by singing a Christmas carol. We haven't had it yet. I thought you might be feeling withdrawal symptoms, in spite of all that I said. So here we go. See Amid the Winter Snow. It's got the element of promise. It's got the element of joy. It's got the element of comfort and peace. So let's stand and let's sing together.